Okay. Hatipul hashotef beginot noy. How to take care of our gardens. Kol hamalachot hasarot b'shnat hashmita min haTorah. So there, remember we spoke about the distinction between two different categories of malachos that are prohibited during Shemitah. We said there are those that are prohibited min haTorah, and there are those that are prohibited midrabban. I'll just get in the malachos that are asuros min haTorah. We have zriya, which means putting the seed in the ground in the case of urokos or kidneos. And then we have the parallel to zriya in trees would be nitiya. Nitiya is the same in trees. And then we have ktsira, which means cutting down. In the case of trees, we also have zmir, which means cutting down parts of the branches. And in the case of ilanos, if we want to take the fruits from the trees, that's called bitsira. Okay, all those are doraisa. So basically we have planting and harvesting. Okay, charisha is on the borderline. It's asur min haTorah, but there's no chiv malchus. It's a little bit different. And all the rest are derabanan. So whereas zriya, zmira, ktsira, ubitsira, and charisha are doraisa, the rest are derabanan. So amongst the drabanans, we have the following. We have hashka'at beit hashalchen. That's going to be the critical one. Irrigation. So irrigating the fields is only asur on shvius midrabana. Or lizabil, which means to fertilize the land. That's also only drabana. Or sikul, which means to remove certain impediments, stones, and stuff like that. So all those are drabana. Now, what's the difference between classifying a malacha as doraisa or derabanan? That's what we're going to see over here. He says, "Kol hamalachos asuros b'shnas hashmita min haTorah asuros afilu im hein ba'os lahatzil es ha'etz v'es ha'peros." Meaning that the five categories of iser, malacha, doraisa, and shvius are all absolute. It doesn't matter what the purpose is, whether you're doing it in order to positively improve the karka, or you're doing it to save the land or the trees from some negative detrimental force. In the case of malachos derabanan, though, here we have the distinction. If you're doing the malacha only to preserve, that's called la'ukmei ara, means to preserve it from any destruction, then it's mutter. So for example, if you take a look at number gimel here, lahashkos, remember we said that irrigating the field is only a malacha derabanan on shvius. Mutter lahashkos rak kidei limnoa nezek nikar litzmachim. In other words, if you're irrigating in order to increase the growth and the productivity of the land, that's prohibited. However, we allow you during shvius to irrigate the land if you are preventing the tzmachim, the growth, from disintegrating, from drying up. That's called limnoa nezek, to prevent it from some sort of detriment. And he says it's got to be nikar. It's got to be absolutely clear that he's not doing it for the sake, you know, of the normal agricultural process of producing fruit and the like. And therefore, in order to make it obvious that he's only doing it in order to prevent nezek, so it shouldn't dry up and be completely damaged, l'chein yesh letzamtzem es tedirus hashkah. In other words, you would normally irrigate, let's say, on a daily basis in order to produce the maximum fruit. Instead, you're going to spread it out. U'lahagdil, and therefore you're going to expand hefreshe azman, right, the discrepancy in time, the gap in time, between one irrigation and the other irrigation. Okay, that's the general rule. Now we move on to the second page. He says, therefore, if it's the rainy season, and assuming that during that particular rainy season there's an ample amount of rain that's coming down from Shamayim, ein lahashkos klal, because there it's not nikar, it doesn't seem to be that you're preventing it from nezik. There's enough rain coming down from the shamayim, you might want to irrigate it for agricultural purposes to maximize the produce, but that's prohibited, even though it's only drabanan. We're only going to allow you to prevent nezik, and in the case where it rains, if there's ample rain, then you're not preventing nezik. Okay, we're going to skip over to hay. Yesh omrim sheba ofen hamuta lahashkos odiv shashkot vutzaydei mamter v'lo biyad. In other words, if you irrigate something, water it by hand, then every single moment you're actually watering it. We want it in every way possible. This is what you call dechuya, to try to do it in a limited way. So how do you whittle down, you limited the iser of hashka? By doing it through a machine. It's automated, it's not biyad. He says, hoil sins. Vashka biyad chamur bioser. That's much more severe. The b'chol, the b'kach, oser simloch b'chol rego rega. It's an ongoing violation of the iser. Whereas in the case of a mamtera, some sort of irrigation system, you just, one moment, you turn on the irrigation system and then it goes by itself. This, by the way, is a particular expression of a universal rule in halacha. For example, if you find a case of a chole who has two choices, we could, let's say it's Shabbos and we can shech the animal, or we can feed him the vela. So some of the poskim, the Ran is of the opinion that it's better to shech the animal, because that's only one violation, even though it's a very severe one, but for the sake of a chol, if he's in danger, we'll have to do so. But if we would feed him nevela, then every single violation of nevela, every kizayis that he eats, is a separate violation, and that jacks up the chumras avera, because it's repetitive, it's multiple crimes. Well, for example, last night in the shiur that we had for Ir Miklat, we spoke about the fact that the rotzech leaving the Ir Miklat is a violation of many smaller isurim, and even though it's a light isur compared to the isur of Lotamet al Damriacha, if let's say the Ir Mik, if he leaves the Ir Miklat, he could say, but we count up the number, the multiple times that you violate a small isur, and that becomes an isur chomer because you violated continuously. So that's a universal principle in halacha. Here it expresses itself in the fact that every time you add water to the crop, it's a violation of at least that isur d'rabbanan of hashka, and we want to limit that to the extent that we can. What happens if you have a porch, a merpeset, and by shooing out the water goes into your garden? He says you have to be very careful about that. Yeshli yizor kisheshotvim ritzofos abayis omirpeses, and the gina is below, the garden is below, l'chatchil shem yishofcha amayim l'gina, because then you're doing a hashka'ah, even though we said that if need be, you're allowed to irrigate your garden, but here it's miyuteret. He says, it really is superfluous. He's not doing it deliberately in order to save and protect his garden from some sort of nezik. Later on, we're going to talk about weeding the garden, right? Because again, weeding is also a kind of malacha d'rabbanan which prevents the nezik.
You say two things. One, I just had a question. I see it's addressing it. Sometimes there's soap or something that could be damaging. Or, like we said yesterday in the other shir, about
the soap is the next paragraph, yeah, that's what we're getting to.
Or, like, it's like low nifale, it might be secretion, but it's low, it's not, you don't have in mind.
You don't have any benefit for it.
Especially if it has soap.
Right, again, but keep in mind, he's interested here, his goal is to make it absolutely clear, you know, in public, the observer would realize that he's not violating Shvi's. That's why you'll see over and over again that he uses the word heker. In Shabbos, we're not so interested in heker. We want to know whether he violates the Avera or not. And then we can say if he doesn't benefit, maybe he makes it into Bloch Shem Sufer Gufa.
There's a lot of these water fountains around, let's say by the parks. Right? And if you turn it, you hit it, maybe the first, maybe more than the first shot, overflow.
Right. That's what we're getting to.
Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, he's really concerned about that. He's concerned about washing your porch, washing your hands. He says, if on the other hand, that's the paragraph that you mentioned, if it's mixed with some sort of serious amount of chomrei nikui, you know, there are poisons, economica, and all the like, hamazika mafsidat smachim ein lahakpid al zri masam derech hamarzev legino. You know, the marzev is that gutter that has a little opening to it, and that's where you shove the water and it goes out into the garden. So he says, if it's, you know, if the water is clearly white, you know, from the various chemical substances that you add to the water, that's okay. And then in number Zion, he wants you to be careful when you wash your hands and you pour your hand, you know, people go into your limb, this is cancer, you pour your hands onto growth or onto grass, he says, the mayim is l'to'elas hatzmachim. And if it's, again, if it's a positive to'elas, you're not allowed to do that during shviz. You know, he's really injecting into our brains a whole awareness, a consciousness of shviz that, in a sense, is going to be malava us, it'll escort us throughout the whole year.
So let me just know, you're on the stool and you have no place to wash. So if you, let's say you see a rock that's surrounded by dirt, if you wash on top of the rock, it's like the porch. You're not doing it directly on the ground, but it's going to go on the ground. Mm-hmm. Is that like the best situation, or you can't even do that?
Again, if it's gonna be nikar that he's only pouring it on the stone, then it maybe that's okay. I don't know. Aser lenakeish asovim b'shvius. Okay, so the general rule is that lenakeish, which means weeding, is prohibited on shvius, albeit midrabana. However, he says in Abetes, b'makom sheminias hanikush yigarem nezek nikar litzmachim. Again, the word nikar. You know, if it's really profoundly dramatic, that if you don't do this weeding, your grass or your growth is going to be strangled. Keep going. He gives the example: makom shasovim chonkim es hatzemach. You know, it got to the point in which these blades of grass are literally choking your vegetables or whatever you have, fruits growing in the garden. He says, "Mutar lekaseach es hasovim." You familiar with the word lekaseach? No.
So you're not really pulling up the root; you're just cutting it, right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you're cutting down this grass that's nikush, which is normally
you're not pulling it up from the root like you normally would.
You mean to do it in an unusual way? He doesn't say so far that he has to do it in an unusual way.
What's kaseach?
Look, kaseach means to cut it down.
But you want to get rid of weeds. The only way to really do it properly is to yak it up from the root. He says just cut it.
He's contrasting it right
now. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's go through it and then we'll see. So far he says mutar lekaseach liktzos es hasovim, right? Im kisuach bilvad lo yimnas hanezek. If that's not sufficient, he says mutar liokram biyad. You can actually rip them out, and that'll do a better job. That's more tipul shoresh, what we say. You know, it's root canal work. The efshali okram biyad, if that's not possible, mutali okram gam b'ma'ader. You could even use a hoe in order to cut them down. B'chatzeros sviv habotim shemenakshim b'hem es ha'sovim midei fam echshash l'sreifa ol n'choshim. So there may be other reasons why we weed our chatzeros in this case, because it might get burnt, especially during the hot summer. Or maybe there are snakes there that we want to clear the area so no snakes. So you're allowed to do that in Shemitah, because again, we're dealing with an only Nisan Malach Darabanan, and you're doing it not to improve the ground and its produce, but rather to prevent a loss. With Tzarech L'tzamtzein, you try to do it as limited as you can. Now we get to Zibul. Zibul means fertilizer. Or Dishun. Dishun is another kind of fertilizer. He says this also is only derabanan, but it's permitted b'makom shem lo yasezos yigarem nezek nikar. He says here too, we apply the same general rule. And that is ma'asit, he says, efshal levatir b'der kol azibu v'adish rashmit. In general, we don't really need to add fertilizer, because otherwise the ground is going to be destroyed. And therefore, it's best to do this before Shvius. and he gives you an eitz of what to use. Ein la'adar b'shvius. We don't hoe the ground during shvius. Again, that's also a derabbanan. But as we said over and over again, even this hoeing is permitted. Again, you have to ask an expert. You know, is it really necessary to do this? You know, you can't do it on your own if you're an amateur. You know, the best thing is to hire a gardener who knows the laws of halacha as well. He's not just an expert in agriculture; he's also an expert in halacha. So he'll be able to determine to what extent you really need this in order to maintain the health of your garden for the future time. He says in certain gardens, are there for beauty, we do kisuach desha l'shtei matarot. There are two purposes and goals of cutting down the grass. Sometimes we do it in order to improve the gina, and sometimes we do it in order to protect the gina. And therefore, it all depends on what his purpose is. If his purpose is l'shem hashbacha, l'shbiach means to enhance the garden, then that's its usher. But if he does it only what? L'shem noi, then he wants to make sure that everybody is aware of the fact that it's l'shem noi. We'll get back to this in a second. Kigon, v'desha gavosh and iskalkel tzuroso. He wants to suggest that here, although by cutting down the grass, he's not improving the productivity of the grass, that's not at all what he's doing, but it seems that everybody can understand that he's doing it for gardening, right? What's it called when they, what's that word in English, that you bring someone who's professional? Landscaping, right? Landscaping. This is what we call landscaping, he says, right? So sometimes what you do is you cut the grass for landscaping purposes, right? Because this kalkel tsuroso, right? You don't see the shape of the beauty of the shrubs or the grasses in a certain, you know, that's what we pay professionals for this. It's quite expensive. He says in such a case, yishal chacham. He has to ask a shaylas chacham whether or not, A, it's really clear that he's doing it for this purpose. Number two, on a public name, you know, in terms of the spectator, whether it's clear. Are we allowed to cut down flowers on Shvius? Because we want to take these flowers and we want to use them to beautify our house. So that's number Yud Zayin. If you take a look, he says, "Ktifas prochim b'shvius litzar kishut muteres." In other words, we're not doing it in order to improve the flower itself, you know, to remove these flowers so that all the flowers will take its place, but because we want it for beauty purposes. He says, "Vitzar shi katef b'shinui nikar miderech haktifa hamakuvel." You should do in a way that it's very, very clear. Okay, Rabosai, there are a lot more details here. Do we have the English book? The English book has a whole section on gardening. But what I wanted to do with you, because we don't have that much time, is the mitzvah of biur. So hold on to this, what do you call, booklet. And we'll come back to it. Thank you. Do you have mitzvah's biur? It should be about page 4 or page 5.
What's the number on top?
Yeah. It should say Kuf Chav Dalet on the top right. Perikuf Aleph. Now, according to many Rishonim, we're talking about a mitzvah da'oraisa. The actual fulfillment of this mitzvah is really going to be in the 8th year, not in the 7th year. Achas min ha-mitzvah shenitztaveinu b'peiro shvius hi mitzvahs biur. Okay, what is this mitzvah's biur all about? And the Torah says the following. V'hoysa shabbos ha'aretz lachem li'ochla. On a simple level, in Pshuta Shel Mikra, there's nothing really remarkable here in this pasuk. The Torah is saying that the land should remain fallow in the seventh year for you, meaning for human beings to eat, and for the animals in your land. But Chazal saw a little bit of superfluous language here, and they took it as a drash. L'behemtecha u'lechaya. Hikish behema l'chaya. Okay, now, there are behemas and there are chayas. And Chazal say, this is a Sifri, it's also Gemara Pesachim, kol zman shahachaya ocheles basode, ha'achel l'behemtecha min abayis. Kol l'chaya min asode, kalei l'behemtecha min abayis. There's some point in the agricultural year of feeding the animals where a distinction is drawn between chayos and behemos. That's going to be the shas abir. Again, it changes with regard to every single min, as we'll see in a minute. But as long as the chaya is eating in the field, right, because the chaya is still there, at a certain point the chaya leaves, then the mitzvah shvius kicks in and you feed the behemos. Once kol l'chaya min asod, and there's nothing left in the fields for the chaya to eat, then we no longer feed the behem. So what is this zman biur, and what obligation does it impose upon us? So if you take a look in the bottom right, he says that from this drasha we derive the following conclusion. At a certain point in the season, we no longer eat peros shvius. Now, the peros shvius were gathered into his house, and as long as that min, that species of food is matzui in the sod, it's out there in the fields, and the chayos therefore are eating them or could eat them, then you're allowed to eat the shvius that's in your house. Abul bizman she echad haminim kol besoda. Again, it depends on each min, but let's say min X, we'll call it kol besoda. It's no longer available out in the fields. You only have it because you took it into your house. Then the mitzvah of biur kicks in with regard to that min. What is the mitzvah of biur? So if you take a look on your left side, here we have the gigantic machlokas rishon. Harishonim nechleku v'mahus mitzvahs biur. What is the essence of biur? The first shita is mechuyavim levayer ulechalos esaperos orak lafsidon. Okay, so one opinion is that we have to take all the fruits out of our house, and basically we've got to let them get destroyed. We can't eat them. But the other opinion is Gaklaf Kiram, all you have to do is make them hefker. And if you make them hefker, then they can be eaten either by the person who Zocha picks up from hefker, if you make it ownerless, or you yourself can be Zocha from the hefker, as we'll soon see. What is the minhag? Again, this is a radical difference between the two opinions. I mean, if you go with the first opinion, then beer literally means to destroy them. We're on Kuf Chaf Hey, if you can find the head, it's on the left side of your page. And la'alocha, we paskin that all you have to do is make them hefker. Well, that's pretty lenient, because what that means is that you're now allowed to eat these fruits. So rishonim nechleku im chovas abir min haTorah oshimi divrei sofrim va'posuku asmachta bilvad. We know that there are two types of obligations. There are obligations that require according to biblical law, and our first impression would be that since the Chazal, the Torah's Kohanim, quotes a pasuk, this should be a biblical requirement. But sometimes Chazal institute a certain law, and that enactment they find a source in the Torah which is called an asmachta. And if we assume that the mitzvah biur is only derabbanan, then in this machlokas rishonim that we mentioned earlier about whether we have to actually destroy the fruits or we just have to be mafkir them, we certainly would want to take the more lenient view and be mafkir them. So what it means is that we can continue eating at peros shvius for a long time. But the cutoff point, which is going to force us now to be mafkir our peros, again, we can't sell them, but we can be mafkir them, is when that particular min no longer is available in the fields. That's called the shas biur, as he explains in the next paragraph. Ochlin peros ha-shvius, you continue enjoying the fruits of shvius, kol zman, as long as oso sug pri matzu besodah. as long as that species, those prunes or those figs are in the field. But kala oso sug mina, so that there are no longer figs in the field, or mina mata, or the place where the trees grow, beju michael or the beju machel behema, it doesn't matter whether it's to be consumed by human beings or by animals. At that point, you've hit the cutoff point. Chayav levayer oso min habayis. You have to take it out of your house, and you have to make it hefker.
I know we started talking about behemoths. We got into adam. But why are we using the field as the? Why can't we say the shuk? I mean, in other words, I understand what the field, then you have the behemoths. But when we're talking about at man, why don't we say when it finishes the shuk? Some of these things are dried figs or dried.
Right.
Can last a long time.
Right. Well, if you're asking on a Doraisa level, assuming like those who shun it Doraisa, I mean, that's just what the Pasuk says, right? Let's go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lachaya le'behemtcho l'chaya sher bar'tzecha. I say bar'tzecha, the Gemara says, means in the field. That's where the animals roam around to eat. If it's a drabanon, then b'chlal we could ask the question, why did the drabanon institute the chiyuv biur and then find an asmacht in the Pasuk? And then what should it depend upon?
So, I mean, I'm making a field between behema and other, because it started off talking about behema, and that I think you can understand why when it ends in the field, I mean the silos,
right.
Then you have to do biur. But by other, we don't eat out of the field, we eat out of the shuk.
Right, but our chiyuv of biur depends upon whether this particular min is in the field or not. That's the chovas biur. So let's take a look at the next paragraph. Achar she'ena oso asug kayam basados. Once we get to the point in the calendar year, again, we're going to have to figure out what that point is for each sug, each min, when there's no longer an availability of that min in the sada. Bein im al yidei shebnei adam loktu asaperos, ubein im kalu o shenikrvu nirkavu aperos basados amufkarim. Is that's called the Shas Bir. So there are many possibilities of, you know, many answers to the question, why is it that I don't find this particular species in the field? One is because maybe we just cut them all down. One is because they're no longer growing in the fields, and whatever was there until this point was taken away by the animals. Other possibility might be is because the fruits have already rotted in the fields and they're no longer there. But be that as it may, whether it's this, that, or the other thing, the fruits are no longer available in the fields. That's the Zman Habiur with regard to that particular type of tzemach, of growth. What happens by a field that there are still fruits in the field because I guarded the field? I protected them. Notice we're not talking about nature taking its course. We're talking about an artificial shmira. That's what he addresses now in the next paragraph, which is Gimel. Sodos, what do you say? Oh, that's very interesting. Lechora, he's not allowed to do that. So he says, Sodos hamshumarim, he locks it up, mi behema v'chaya. So this might be a case where he's allowed to do shmira because maybe they'll come in and they'll destroy his field. And yesh b'hem adayin peiros, because he set up this protection, there are still fields growing, is eino mishanen mizman habiur. The zman habiur is not determined by the fact that in reality we do find these fruits, but that's because of a change in the natural order of things. Shekol shekol misodas hamufkarim, but rather our criterion is determined by those fields that are open, and therefore the behem and chaya could come in, and at some point they eat up whatever's left. Hareyu bechlal kol lechaya minasod. That's enough to set up this determining factor that it's already kola l'chaya minasod. So we don't look at our doing things to change the chaya minasod. We look at the natural order.
They print these luachs in advance,
right?
The time of biurs. What if you had a hot spell or a cold spell, or things lasted longer? So those luachs are not set in stone, or they're...
Right, I think the luach has to be produced towards the end of the season. I don't know, I think he's going to talk about that soon. Let's see. First, he wants to know the following. What happens if I have a very limited amount of that particular fruit or vegetable in my possession in my house? Is there a shear below which I don't have to be obligated in the mitzvah of biur? And that's called gimel seudos. Mazon gimel seudos. Hashir achayv bebiur hu yoser mi mazon gimel seudos. So if I have up to but not beyond gimel seudos, then I'm parted completely from biur, and I can eat those gimel seudos. We'll see exactly what that means, gimel seudos. Aval im hayu biyado rak mazon gimel seudos, hareyam kimuvu arim, it's as if you already were makai in the midst of biur. Hayu biyado harbe peros, if he has more than the shear of gimel seudos, what it means is the following. That although now he becomes chayav in the mitzvah of biur, because he has in his possession more than mazon shal sudos, nevertheless he doesn't have to be mevayer all the fruits in his house. He's allowed to leave mazon gimel sudos for himself, and the same volume, whatever that volume is, we don't know yet, but it's called mazon gimel seudos, for each one of the members of his household. And not only that, he can be very magnanimous, and he can go downstairs to the neighbor who lives on the first floor of his apartment house. V'rashoy l'chalik l'shchenov u'lekrovov l'chol echad v'yechad she'ein lo mazon gimel seudos shel shvius v'min zeh. If his neighbors or his friends, you know, you could really make this into a matonos, you know, a what's it called, a mishloach matonos kind of mitzvah, and he runs around delivering up to but not beyond mazon gimel seudos to all his friends and his krovim of that min, and if he still has something left in his possession, he will be mavayer that which is left. So it's very possible that he's chayav in biur, because he has more than mazon gimel seudos for each one of his members of his house, and yet he'll never actually implement the mitzvah of biur, because instead of doing biur, he's going to take that, let's say, a massive volume of that fruit, and he's going to divvy it up amongst his friends and relatives.
Is that a circumvention? Is that actually giving them?
No, that's all part of the mitzvah of shvius. I think you would be recommended to do this, because according to one sheet, the biur means destroying the fruits. We don't want to destroy the fruits of. We want to make sure that we can eat them. Remember, we quoted the Ramban sheet that eating perishables is a mitzvah. So, to the extent to which we can maximize that mitzvah on each fruit, that's what we want to do.
So, what if you have the Derech Chava, lots of guests, but you don't invite them until the last minute? Can you still have the fruits even though they're not designated for people at the moment?
Fine. That's great. You know, just make sure that once the Shas beer comes, you get rid of all the peros of that min by dividing them up. In other words, you can't put them into deep storage and say, you know, I'm giving this for Ploni Almoni. You have to actually divvy it up on the day of Chovas beer without delay.
You said Chovas beer came and you didn't invite anybody yet, but you know that in 2 days' time you're going to have,
I don't know,
Shabbos day.
That's really stretching it. I think, you know, the Zman, on that day of biur, we have to take the fruits out of our possession, you know, and bring them outside. Now look, if you could put them in a place where somebody will have access to them, that's okay. But technically what we're going to see is on the moment of biur, you have to be mafkir those things. So if you say, well, you know, I'm tying this up for Reuven, and only Reuven will have access, he has the key, then you haven't been mekayem your mitzvah of biur. Okay? Now, what is mazon shalosh seudos? So it's very interesting that mazon gimel seudos is a reflection of how that seuda is usually, how that fruit, whatever that fruit is, whatever that min is eaten. In other words, it's not, how do I explain this? It's not mazon gimel seudos as a set volume, but rather it's mazon gimel seudos the way you would normally eat that particular fruit. Let's see his example. Ledugma, he says, te'enim, we're up to figs. He says, let's say you would eat three meals worth of figs. Right? Figs are very, you know, filling. You could really fill yourself up with figs. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about is what you would normally do with figs. You normally don't set up a suda on figs. That would not be a smart thing to do. Ella yishar kama te'enim darko lechol b'shal sudas. In other words, if I was eating three meals and I wanted to add figs to my meal, he calls it lift time, it's like a dessert, how many figs would I normally put in a meal multiplied by three? That's the shear of shal sudas. Hayayin. Now keep in mind that wine is a classical case of shvius, right? Because it comes from grapes. L'dalid kosos lo ulivnei beso, up to but not beyond four cups for each one of the members of his family, is ein tzarich biur. So when we speak about solids, then we're talking about up to mazon shel seudos. When we're talking about liquids, in this case yayin, we're talking up to dalid kosos. He doesn't tell you exactly how large the kos is. Maybe a normal sized kos. Bigiyas manabir, what do you have to do? You know, they announced that on Hanukkah of the 8th year, you know, we no longer have figs in the Sada. Got to get rid of all your figs of Shvius. Is Yotzias haperos mi beso, he has to take them outside. He has to gather together three people, and he has to make them hefker. We discussed this once before, that according to Rabbi Yossi, we pass like Rabbi Yossi, hefker has to be public, which means you have to do it bifnei shlosha. You should know that the Chazon Ish is makil on this. The Chazon Ish says that if you do it in your own home, in front of three people, that's also sufficient. He's machmir, he says that you should bring it to the Pesach Habayis, you know, to the entry into the house, but you don't have to actually bring it out into the public yard. But here he says that that's what you have to do. You have to make a public declaration that's hefker in front of three people. In other words, this is not a bezdin. You know, we have to have three people who have no connection to you. It's just a matter of hefker. Hefker doesn't make a difference who these three people are. Even though he knows pretty well that they're going to leave the peros for him, he himself, the balabas, is going to be able to take the peros, as he says in Zion, Kiyam mitzvahs bir rashoi lachzar v'lizkos v'peros shed bir. Okay, he's allowed, he himself is not inferior to anyone else who could be zochim in a hefker, and he takes him in his house and he eats them.
What happens if a guy has a wine cellar, he has all this wine,
and it's all shvius? If it's shvius, he'll know whether it's shvius or not. If he bought it from goyim, that's a problem of yayin stam yenom. So it's definitely going to be kosher wine.
Years of your wine.
Correct.
Mark.
Yeah, you'll see on your wine bottle, it'll say shvius. Or it'll probably say otzer bezdin. And by the way, you'll have those bottles for years and years to come, right? So the question is, how are you mekayim the mitzvah biur after it's kol l'chayim and asada on that wine? Okay, so hold on to your question for a minute. In any event, now we have to get the luchos, right? We have to figure out when is the zman biur. Now you should know that Eretz Yisrael is divided into three countries. We don't know that. One of them is called Yehuda, the other is called Golil, and the other is called Evar Yarden. And each one has its own shas biur for that particular species. Acheyos in the second paragraph, she'enon ubikim ayom begvulos elu shegav l'chacham. We don't know exactly which is Yehuda, which is Gola, which is Evar Yarden. Evar Yarden, by the way, is a lot easier to figure out because it's over the Jordan. But certainly Yehuda and Golil is therefore berov haminim kayim sofek. In other words, we never really know exactly when is the cutoff date of Kol L'chayim and Asada on any min, because we're not sure if we're in Yehuda or we're in Golit.
Evar Yarden has Kedusha
Shvius. Right. Evar Yarden has Kedusha Shvius. But Evar Yarden, this he has in the other sefer that I have called the Mishver Shvius, he has an entire section on the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, I was thinking actually of teaching that today, but last night I said, no way, I'm too tired. This is exhausting.
You know, something comes labeled as Jordan doesn't mean it's, without any Heksher, doesn't mean...
Well, Jordan would be Heksher for B'nai Yerushalayim. You know, you're talking about B'nai Brak? Like, we were mocking for Kasadish?
Like, let's say, I don't know, if you bought a box of figs that says Nochri, Jordan. Came in from Jordan.
Right, because it's not Jewish owned, I don't think. I don't know if there are any Jewish farmers in Jordan. I doubt it. Pretty dangerous. Oh, so now you're asking, according to Chumra, the Chazanish in Bnei Brak, that even Peros Nochrim have Kedusha Shviyas, what happens to stuff from Jordan? That's right. What happens with stuff from Aza, by the way? I don't know if Aza has Kedusha Shviyas. I think the post can say that Aza does not have Kedusha Shviyas. Which is one of the reasons that when we lost Aza, you know, we lost a lot of our solutions for fruits and vegetables for Shvi'it.
It used to be part of Philistine territory. It was never fully conquered
at the time of Ezra Nehemiah. So it wasn't part of Ole Bavel, it was part of Ole Mitzrayim, and therefore it doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'it, because Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shaitim Lo Kitchel Asimba. So again, let's just read this paragraph one more time, because this is an important paragraph. This will bring the whole issue of beer into a whole new perspective. He says, "Ache Yosha ain't on a bekiyim ayom. We don't know the gvulos." Shigolcha v'chein anu miskashim l'kvo masay asmanam v'duyek shel kiliyah peres min asada hareish berov haminim kayam sofek emasai who's mana beer. Rabosai, this is going to engender a mess. What can I tell you? A gigantic mess. Because watch what happens here. If I don't know when the Zman HaBir is, let's say I tell you that the Zman HaBir might be Aleph Cheshvan, and maybe it's Beis Cheshvan, right? So, from one perspective, on Aleph Cheshvan, if I want to be Machmir, I got to get rid of all my fruits, correct? But then, I wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah of beer until Beis Cheshvan, if Beis Cheshvan is Zman HaBir. He says, Hoel Uzmana Bir Barov Aminim Eni Yadua. Okay, let's skip to number one. This is the like drive you crazy Chumra kind of thing. Is then Lahafkir Kol Yomas Aperos Shilagayim Kayim Sofik Shami Giazmana Bir Liskos Akap Aperos Ubiyomokhi Aksu Yafkirin. This is mind boggling. What you're going to have to do is on Sunday, the first of the month, you got to get rid of your payrolls and be mafkir them. Then you take them back into your house. And then on Monday, the second of the month, you got to go back and be mafkir the second time. This is going to be fun, right? You know, kol yom achiyetzah sofik milibo shebavadei ofar zman habir. That's the first option. So you know, for months and months, you're going to be mafkir your fruits, taking them back inside. He says that he admits on Kufchav test the left side hole the eight zu after the yom kosher of Yitzua.
I have more than three meals for
him. One, three meals.
So it's not
right.
Really like shy.
Okay, but again, you know, like you say, you have volumes of them. He says therefore the minhag is like the second approach. Nagu lahafkir saperos biyom tchilas asofei. So on the earliest date, because again, we don't want to delay the mitzvah beer. So we go out into the public area, we declare that they're hefker, lachnisam lebeisam v'cheskes mufkarim. In other words, when we bring them into our home, this is a real complicated halacha. This is what you call a harama. We're going to assume that they're still hefker. I took them into my house, but guess what? It's still hefker. I have to tell the people on the outside that they still remain hefker despite the fact that I bring them into my house. And he should not actually acquire ownership. He should have the hefker continuous. In other words, basically what's going on here is there's a machlokes. What is the nature of the kiyum mitzvahs biur? How do you fulfill your chovas biur? Is the maisa hefker? Or having it hefker, the continuous state of it being hefker? This second approach says you don't have to go and be mafkir daily, you know, for the entire period of suffering. It's enough that you do the maisa hefker once and you maintain the status of the fruits as hefker, but you have to be careful to make sure that it's actually hefker. So therefore, let him know in front of those three people that it continues to be hefker even though he brought the fruits into his house. Harayeng mufkarim v'yomdu, the status of hefker is an ongoing status. Anyone who can come in, again, I don't know, you know, if he wants people coming into his kitchen and into his storage space, traipsing in and taking the fruits, but he has to notify that that's what he's doing. Ulakachtam, anyone can take them. B'chol eis sheyirtza. He, by the way, tells us that there are a few very rare categories or species of fruits where Chazal have an absolute deadline, a date. Okay. So I don't know, if you take a look, when it comes to Te'enim, he says Chanukah is the Shas HaBiur in the 8th year, but take a look, he adds Tav Shin Nun He. So don't be confused by that, because this Sefer, Dinei Shvius, was published Erev Tav Shin Nun Dalet, right? In Tav Shin Nun Gimel, at the end of Tav Shin Nun Gimel, and that's when it was published, right as a guide for that Shemitah year of Tav Shin Nun Dalet. So don't be confused by this, as if to say that Chanukah only applies to Tav Shin Nun He. Chanukah applies even in Tav Shin Ayin He. And Tmarim, which are dates, Purim Shal Shemitah. Anovim Shudin Yayin is on the first day of Pesach of Shemitah, which is the 15th of Nisan. Zaysim, and of course anything that comes from Zaysim, if it's made of the produce of Shvius, is Shvuas of the 8th year. Omnam Yesh.
After a leap year. This year would be different. This is a klal, or this was just for that year?
I think this is a klal. This is a klal. That's the way they would convey it. It's like a low plu kind of thing. Omnam, however, Yesh Tonim Shamatzav Bisadot Nishtaneh. That maybe all these dinim no longer apply. At the time, back in the day, Chachamim made this assumption by studying the situation that exists b'matzavam, but not in our matzav. Uzman habir shalminim elu mukdam yoter. In fact, in our situation, there are no longer these dates and figs and olives in the field at those dates. Afal pichein lahalocha, nevertheless, yesh levayr minim elu bizmanim shekavalonu chazal. So it's very interesting. We actually know that these are not true indicators. These are not accurate in terms of the agricultural situation that we face today. But nevertheless, it's like a low pluk chachamim. The chachamim were the ones, according to the shita, that instituted this man deer. And therefore, they will tell us exactly when this man deer is, as they did in these four cases. And that Zman Bir remains absolute and for all infinity, even after the time that we know that that's no longer accurate. Okay, I'm going to try to make a run to the finish line. It's only another few paragraphs, actually. Zman Bir Shal HaYotzi Min HaPri. Now, what about wine and the like? In other words, liquids that come from the fruits of Shvius. They are equal to the Zman Bir of the fruit itself. Okay, so this Mitch touches on what you were asking before. So you're going to have to take your bottles of wine after a certain date, which we said was Aleph of Chag HaPesach. Did I get that right? Aleph to Pesach, right? The first day of Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, you got to take all your wines out of your mafker them. Again, only if they're Shvius, right? If they're also best in from Shvius,
more than
you may still have some in your store from last year.
I never look.
And only if it's more than
you should look. Person. I'll tell you why, Mitch. It's very important that you don't waste any of that wine. You know, Perish Shvius have to, if it's Otzer Bezdin, you can't just, you know, you say, God, I tell you, for me, it's very relevant because I drink dry wine. And sometimes, you know, if the dry wine is a week old or 2 weeks old and it's not, you know, if I don't do the whole thing, you know, the air pump, yeah, I don't like the way it tastes. And I you know, whether my wife likes this or not, I literally spill it out. You know, if it's Shvius wine, you can't do that. As long as it's edible. If you want to feed your animal, if it's not humanly consumed, you might have a drunk animal.
So
you
know, say Shvius on the wine.
Shvius what?
Shvius on the wine.
Yes. It's been top of the year as well.
Yeah. Take a look on the back of the bottle. It should say, if it's Shvius, it'll say it. Or if it's not Shvius, it'll say Naki Michashash Shvius.
You won't even be able to buy it until the next year and a half from now, right? the Shemitah wine won't come out until the grape season is.
You just talked about the year. I think 2007 was the last Shemitah year for wine.
Okay, the next paragraph, I'm just going to summarize very quickly. There's something called Dmei Shvius, which requires a shear in itself. That means if I sell Paris of Shvius, again, when I'm allowed to sell Paris of Shvius, we discussed this at great length, then the money that I get for the Paris of Shvius now becomes a substitute for the Kedusha Shvius, meaning both the Paris now and the money have that status. So if I sell, for example, grapes, the money that I get from the grapes has the same din of the grapes as far as the Zman HaBir is concerned.
The money, right?
Now, the Chazon Ish says that Peros Nochrim Chayovim B'Bir. So if you buy Peros Nochrim, then you have to be Mavar them, right? If, again, if they grew in Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking about import from Italy or Spain. So Akona Peros Min HaNochrim Achar Zman Bir Lo Nesra Peros. However, if you bought these fruits after the Zman HaBir, then the guy himself who sold it to you, he was not chayiv in the mitzvah of beer, and therefore you don't pick up the mitzvah of beer when you buy them. Something that has a blia of kedusha shvius. For example, let's say you take a vegetable of shvius and you soak it for more than 24 hours. That's called kovah. So what happens now? You have another yerek that absorbed in that 24-hour period the taste of the Yerek Shel Shvius, even though the second Yerek is not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius, then the law of beer applies to both of them, because the tam, this is the principle called tam ki'ikar, penetrates into this vegetable and gives it Kedusha Shvius. I mean, this halach has to be studied not just in terms of beer, but in terms of all the laws in the previous chapter of Peros Shvius. If you have a mixture of two different minim, let's say, for example, you take cherries he has and you have apricots and they both have Kedusha Shvius, then what do we do over here? If, let's say, they're mixed together, soaking together, there's a tam of one and the other, pa'amim chayav levayer b'moed abir shal amitch esman biro rishon, pa'am shachayav levayer b'min abir ha'achron, pa'am levayer kol min bizmano. This is very complicated. You have to know all the laws of Tam Ki Iker to figure out whether the Iker now is the Dubdavan, whether the Iker is the Mishmish, or both of them have the same, they maintain the same identity and they're still independent. For that, you really have to be a Baki in your Idea, Chelek Aleph. Now, we have the case of Otzer Beis, and this is on page Kuf Lamed Beis, and they now are divvying up all the fruits and vegetables, etc., they collected from the farmers. Is Rashoi Lahamshich Ulchalkom Gamli Achrisman Abir. In other words, since Bezdin is a kind of hefker, now that they represent all of Klal Yisrael, they don't have personal bailus, the Chiyuv Bir doesn't kick in. The Chiyuv Bir only applies to a Yachid and not to the entire tzibur represented here by Bezdin. Aval Yachid Shekibel if Neizman Abir Peres Menetzah Shemiz. This all applies if you purchase, which is fine. Again, it's not really a purchase, as we discussed in great length. But if you get a hold of Peros after the Zman HaBir, right? But if, let's say, you acquired ownership over these Peros Shvius that have Kedusha Shvius from Otzer Beis Din before the Zman HaBir, then they have the regular standard dinim of Kedusha Shvius. The fact that they were once Hefker does not remove your chova, your obligation to be Mafker then. And then in the last three paragraphs, he speaks more in more great detail about Belia and whether the Kalim that now have the penetration of Kedusha Shvius within the walls of the Kli are subject to the laws of Biur, and he comes to the conclusion that they're not included in the mitzvah of Biur. If a person violates his Chiyuv Biur and he maintains ownership on Peros Shvius even beyond the deadline of Chiyuv Biur, Nesru HaPeros Vachila V'Tzarech Li'Avdom. This I want to withhold judgment on, because he has a discussion about this in the other Sefer called Peros Shvius, which I want to get back to and see if that's accepted according to every opinion. But in any event, he's going with Chumrah here, and he's saying if you violated the Chovas Beer, that's it. You got to get rid of these Peros, according to everybody. And last but not least, Gamli Acher Zman Adbira Peros Kedoshim B'Kedusha Shvius. Again, don't think that after Zman Adbira you will mafkir them, and anyone, including yourself, who zochen them now, could treat these Peros as if they're no longer Kedusha Shvius. The Kedusha Shvius is not undermined or terminated by the Chiv Biur by being mafkir. Okay, then?
We'll stop there.